so critical when we think through this, because we don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that the end goal is simply living the good life here on this earth. The true glory is what it will be like in our new nature when we are in the presence of Jesus.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hi, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're wrapping up today this three-part series on the worthiness of suffering from this incredible text here in Romans. And, you know, suffering again is something that all of us will encounter at some point along this journey called life. We cannot escape it. We cannot outrun it. It simply is a part of who we are in these depraved bodies of death that we live in. But we can rise above the fray, and we can truly be Christ-like and Christ-honoring in the midst of the suffering. We can actually learn from the suffering, and as one person once said, we can actually become better, not bitter. And that is so critical as we live this life here on this earth, that it's so easy to become discouraged and, yes, even bitter as we go through the sufferings of this life. But God's Word is so clear that there's a purpose, there's a plan behind our sufferings. And most of all, it's to give glory and praise to the great God of the Bible, that even in the midst of the valleys of life, that we can show a lost and dying world by how we react to our sufferings, that our God is not only mighty to save, but our God is great even in those valleys of life. And we trust Him, and we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Ken Geyer wrote a brief piece on suffering many years ago, and I want to read it to you right now that I pray will encourage you. But I pray it also challenge you as you think through this concept of the worthiness of suffering. He entitled this, "Honestly, I Want to Be Like Christ." He writes here, "But honestly, I want to be like the Christ who turned the water into wine, not the Christ who thirsted on a cross. I want to be the clothed Christ, not the one whose garment was stripped and gambled away. I want to be the Christ who fed the 5,000, not the one who hungered for 40 days in the wilderness. This is the dark side of Christianity, the side we don't see when we sign up. That if we want to be like Christ, we have to embrace both sides of His life. What else could it mean when the Bible talks about the fellowship of His suffering? How could we enter that fellowship apart from suffering? How could we truly know the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, if we had not ourselves known grief and sorrow?" What a great thought there that was written that truly challenges us to meditate on this concept of suffering. Because I don't know about you, but I do not embrace suffering like I should. There's so many times in this life that when I endure difficult circumstances, challenging times, it's so easy to grow impatient with God during those seasons of life. And yet it's specifically in those seasons of life that God wants to grow us. He wants us to grow up in those seasons of life, that we might see that His hand is there, that He has not moved, that it certainly is a great opportunity for our faith to just not be tested, but for our faith to be strengthened. You know, you think through that concept of having something strengthened. Something cannot be strengthened unless it truly undergoes a great testing. You know, God is doing that in our lives today as He is allowing the things of this life that we do not view as blessings come into our lives through the channel of suffering. And therefore, it strengthens us, it grows us, it prunes us, it refines us, it shapes us and molds us more into the Christ-likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the point. The whole point in this is that we would become more like Christ. The whole point is that we would not live this life so that we could get more out of God. The whole point is that we're under the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness alone, that God would begin to get more out of us, that as people see us, they would not actually see us, but they would see Christ in us, the complete hope and glory. That as we go through the trials, as we go through the difficulties, they would wonder, what is it that's so different about you and I? And they would begin to crave and desire what we have. And therefore that opens the door that we can then share with them that Christ is our life and we've been crucified with Him. That it's no longer we that live, but Christ lives within us for His praise and His glory. And so let's think through this today together as we meditate on His Word, as we open His glorious truth, as we begin to see, I pray, afresh and new, maybe for the first time today as you're listening, maybe right now as you're listening to the Holy Spirit is speaking into your life and He's revealing to you God's Word, and maybe right now during the trials of your life, He's speaking at this very moment, encouraging you to press on, to not lose heart. And so I pray right now that we would take our Bibles together. Let's turn to this great text of Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 18, as we conclude the message entitled, The Worthiness of Suffering.
Write down key number 2. The value of the suffering in my life today is all about what I'm comparing my suffering to. Let me repeat that. The value, don't miss that word, the value of my suffering in my life today is all about what I am comparing my suffering to. And if you're comparing your suffering to not getting what you want, you will actually be unwittingly driving yourself into deeper and deeper despair. So many times we get mad at God because He hasn't come through in our timetable, with our plans, with our agenda, and we just sink deeper and deeper into despair. See, that's why this is the key that God's still teaching me. Hold everything in this life very loosely. Don't come to God again with, you know, these clenched fists saying, God, okay, I love You, and I trust You, and I believe in You. Okay, God, let's do this. No, we come to God like this. God, I love You, I trust You, I believe in You. Actually, I trust You so much that I'm going to hold everything loosely in my hands. It's all Yours anyway. It's not mine. I'm going to let You take it and use it for Your praise and for Your glory. And I'll tell you this, when we do that, man, our lives become so enriched, don't they? We're no longer trying to micromanage this situation and figure out this situation. No, God, here I am, God. You use me. You use all that I have. It's Yours anyway. You use it for Your praise and for Your glory. Because understand this, that the suffering that you and I are going through, there is worthiness in your suffering. Look at the last part of this text here together right now. And it says this in context. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. There it is. Compared with what? Here it is, last part. With the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. What's this glory? Well, I mentioned it the other night. It's the Greek word doxa. We sing what's called many times the doxology. What is doxa? Well, here's what this means in the Greek. Very important. Understand what this means. It's the majesty, the splendor, the excellence, and the preeminence. Now, don't miss that last word, preeminence, because if you're really going to be able to leave here tonight and go, you know what, the sufferings of my present time are not worthy to be compared to this glory which shall be revealed, you're going to need to understand the word preeminence, and it dealt with what we talked about last night. See, preeminence means this, to be in first place. See, the greatness of God is that He's superior. The greatness of God is that He's in first place, whether we put Him there or not. But what we'll do if we're not careful, and even unwittingly, we will take our circumstances, our sufferings, and we park them next to God, and unwittingly what we do in our own minds and hearts, we put them higher than God. Boy, I'm in this situation. I got this terrible health report. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. My grandkids just don't know Jesus. And we go on and on and on and on with what we think can't happen when we should be saying, God, You are great. You are worthy to be praised, and you can do all things. Tell you what, we have that mindset. I believe a lost and dying world will start believing and seeing how much we truly do believe in this great God of the Bible that we profess to serve. So critical when we think through this, because we don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that the end goal is simply living the good life here on this earth. The true glory is what it will be like in our new nature when we are in the presence of Jesus. So we read this in our text tonight. We're just focused on one verse, but there's a very pivotal verse I want you to look down in your Bible right now. We already read it, but look down in your Bible right now. I want you to see this. Look at verse 23. This is referring to this glory that he's talking about. Not only that, verse 23 says, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, here it is, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Amen? I mean, isn't that going to be awesome? Do you understand this? That we were justified at the cross. That word justified means this. We were justified from all our sin, as though we've never sinned. We were justified. We are now being in these bodies of death as believers in Christ. We are being sanctified. It's a continual process. Well, there's some days that are pretty good, amen? Other days they go, oops, that probably wasn't a good day for Jesus. But praise God, we can fade back and punt and do this thing all over again. But there's another phrase, another word rather, and it means this. It's the word glorified or glorification. That is when we are in the presence of Jesus. And you talk about all things becoming new. Man, can you not wait to get that new glorified body? Amen. It's going to be awesome that we're going to be in the presence of Jesus in a glorified body. No more pain, no more suffering. I mean, you talk about heaven. That's heaven, amen? Do you see Paul's point? Are we starting to get this? The sufferings of this present time, yes, they can be weighty. Yes, they bog us down. But when we pull them up next to the glory which shall be revealed, they do not pass the test. And when we get that in our minds and our hearts, man, our whole outlook on life is going to change. People are going to be like, man, did somebody kidnap you and replace you with someone else? No, I just started really understanding what Scripture teaches. And man, it's going to be awesome that even though I'm going through this trial today, oh, by the way, will you pray for me? I'm going through a trial. It's heavy. But you know what I also understand? I'm pulling it up next to the glory which is going to be revealed. And the glory which is going to be revealed is infinitely greater. This suffering is momentary. It's light. I'm not losing heart. I'm pressing into Jesus more and more. I'll tell you what, we do this and our witness for the Lord is just going to explode in just a glorious way. Be revealed is a very important word here. Be revealed means this. Don't miss this. To uncover what was once veiled. So let's process this last point together. To the glory, to the doxa, to the majesty, to the splendor, the excellence, the preeminence, which shall now be revealed. It shall be exposed. The veil has been torn. Literally, that was once was covered and cloaked. The cloak has been removed. See, I want you to picture this, okay? So Paul is saying here, look, we got sufferings, but we have this glory. For you that are a child of the King tonight, you have a glory waiting for you. I mean, do you remember like a Christmas? You guys ever celebrated Christmas? A couple of us? Tell you what, my kids, man, when they were younger, kids. Was there anyone in the room ever been a kid before? Let me ask that question. All these blank looks. I don't know. Kids at heart, right? I'll tell you what, Christmas, right? You know, it's like, if you're a parent of a child, you're like, it's 2:28, you know? Can we wait a few more hours? What is it about Christmas? There's an excitement, isn't there? But what is it about Christmas for the child? They get to open a gift. They are now unveiling the gift. They are removing the paper. They're removing the ribbon and the bow. It's now being exposed. And you see the pictures, don't you? We got them too. But you take it right as they're opening the paper, right? And you look at their face, and their mouth's wide open, and their eyes are bugging out of their heads, right? It's because they cannot believe what they're opening. It's greater than they ever imagined. And that's going to be the glory. My finite mind can't get around it. I know this, though, by Paul's writing. Man, we're going to open up that gift, so to speak, on that day. It's going to blow our minds. We're not going to look back at the aches and the pains and the trials and the tribulations. We're going to look steadfastly into the face of Jesus and say, "Oh, I'm here for you to praise you." That's awesome, isn't it? That's what God's Word says.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
That's why key number three is this. Key number three. The suffering in my life today will be worth it all when I stand face to face with Jesus. The suffering in my life today will be worth it all when I stand face to face with Jesus. Here's your cross-reference verses in this last point. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also," here it is, listen to this, "we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Did you hear that text? "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also are eagerly waiting for the Savior." It's like those kids who are sitting on the steps at 2:28 in the morning on Christmas Eve. They are just chomping at the bit because they want to see it exposed. They want to see the gift. They want to see, in their mind's eye, they're thinking it's this or it's that, or, man, I hope it's this or I hope it's that. And they get to open it up and just to be blown away how wonderful the gift is. That's what it's going to be like in the presence of our Savior. Second and last verse on that section to conclude. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Here's what John wrote. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, comma. But we know," confidently is what he's saying, "but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? That when He's revealed, that literally when Christ is revealed in all His splendor and all His glory, man, we are going to be like our Savior as far as being glorified. And you know what that does? I'll tell you what that does. We circle all the way back around to where we started. That when you stand face to face with your Jesus, your Savior, on that day, and you somehow, if it was possible, start comparing your sufferings to the greatness of Jesus, there's going to be no comparison. It will not stand the test. Because my Jesus and His grace is greater than my greatest suffering of my present day, of my past, and even sufferings that will transpire in our future. A.W. Pink said it this way, though poor in the world's goods, though grieving the loss of loved ones, though suffering pain of body, though harassed by sin and Satan, though hated and persecuted by worldlings, whatever be the case and lot of the Christian, it is both his privilege and duty to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I close tonight with this illustration. Back in 2006, you probably heard the news account of this devastating story. But there's a college in Indiana by the name of Taylor University. But a tractor trailer semi, traveling at a high rate of speed, without stopping, ran over college students. There was something unique that happened in that incident that, if you recall the news reports, there were two girls that had a very similar appearance. And what happened through the events, because of all the chaos and all of the debris and how people were scattered, and even more to the degree that because of just the violence of the impact and the scarring, if you will, of the bodies, that there were these two girls that were taken to hospitals. And yet what happened in the midst of this tragedy was that each girl was mistaken for the other girl. Now, I want you to put yourself in this situation as a parent, that your college-age daughter, who you think is in the hospital, has now actually passed away. So the parents are sitting at a bedside of who they think is their daughter, who is hopefully going to recover, when in actuality, their daughter is the one who is being buried. You talk about suffering. It's almost unfathomable to even speak of this story. But God's grace is greater than our greatest pain. Because here's what transpired next. When it was understood what had happened, and it was obviously a simple mistake to make because of what had transpired and all the issues and all the elements that went into this tragedy. And yet, here's what I read in the account of this story, that as letters and as encouragement and condolences poured into each family, one family thinking their daughter had died, and now they're elated. They're elated because their daughter's not dead, but their daughter's still alive. And yet there's another dynamic to this, because there's a family who's been sitting at the bedside of what they thought was their daughter, when in reality, their daughter is no longer here on this earth. And yet from Australia, a writer made a note that will impact my life forever. As this writer was making this note and drafting this poignant encouragement, but heartfelt response. It was so heartfelt that when I even think through it right now, that my heart is stirred. They wrote this. Listen closely. I came to your blog via a newspaper's website in Sydney, Australia. Now again, remember, Indiana, Australia. Quite a long way away. But God works the trial, and distance is no barrier to my God working. The newspaper did not mention your faith. Yet coming to this site, it is the most overwhelming feature. Here's what the writer from Australia says to these Christian parents who are suffering great loss. I wish I shared your faith. In reading through this blog, it's obvious you have something so special there, and I wish I did too. I came here saddened over your circumstances and such a dreadful way to lose your daughter, and troubled by the hard time you have been through, and yet here I am wishing I had what you have. That's a praise the Lord moment, isn't it? Do you see this? See, the momentary light afflictions, they're for our good. They're for God's glory. And yes, they're even for people in Sydney, Australia, who need Jesus. And sometimes the tragedies and the heartache and the pain in your life and my life is exactly the vehicle that's going to draw people to the Savior. And so tonight I want you to be encouraged. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Do not bend. Do not buckle. Do not break. Do not flinch. Regardless of what you're going through today, stay the course to the Savior. Because at the end of the day, the worthiness of our sufferings is so true. Amen. Holy Father, we come before you tonight and just praising your name. I pray fervently right now. I pray the people have been greatly encouraged by your word. I pray they've been stirred. I pray your word has stirred them. Not what a man says, but what your word says. I pray that at least one person in this room is just going to be so resolved to go out to make a difference. And so, Lord, we want to be encouraged that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. And so, Father, we just ask right now, we ask that you would speak in our hearts. Whatever the Holy Spirit you want to do right now, don't allow us to resist, but just simply give us ears to hear, eyes to see, that whatever you're leading us to do right now, Father, that we'll simply step out in faith and follow you and trust you with the consequences. So, Father, we give this to you now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.